Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and as always, it is a blessing and an honor to be with you on today. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, I magnify your name. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. There's none like you, Lord, and I just give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in my life today. I thank you, Lord, for this Power in the Word show, Lord. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your power. I thank you, Lord, for your magnificence. I thank you that you are God all by yourself. I love you, and I praise you, and I worship you, and I just ask that you let your Holy Spirit come in and take over this time that I am here on the air. I ask that you will bless every listener, that you will bless every caller, that you will bless everyone who comes to listen via the archives, and I give this time to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen, and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. And I'm just blessed and honored to be with you today. You do not know what I have had to go through as far as technology over the past couple of days. I tell you, but you know what? Yet will I praise God. That's why this program is called Power in the Word, because I have to come and tell you about the goodness and glory of God and let you know that God is still good no matter what's going on, no matter what the problem is, no matter what it seems like, what it looks like is really not what it is, because what it is what God says it is. And we have to make sure that we keep that confession on our lips, that we can't look at our circumstances, but we have to keep our eyes stayed on Jesus. We have to keep our eyes on those things that are good, those things that are praiseworthy. We have to keep our eyes on God and the promises of God. And if you can do that, I guarantee you success. No, it won't be easy. God told us that we were going to have problems in this world. Jesus said, in this world, you will have problems. You will go through some stuff. He said, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Amen. And I have had some difficulties with technology over the past couple of days. Yesterday, I dropped my desktop, my CPU on the floor, broke the fan. So that computer is not working today. And when I went to do this program today, my headset was out. And I said, you know what? God is still good and worthy to be praised. And I don't give anybody else any glory but God, because he has a plan in the midst of everything that we can go through. Amen. Amen. And praise God. So be encouraged. I said all of that to say to you, be encouraged. No matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, just continue to keep your eyes on God and continue to move forward with the plan of God. Amen. Amen and praise God. Today I want to talk about the vicious cycle of dysfunction, discomfort, and being disqualified. But before I do that, I see that we do have a caller on the air. I'm expecting Antoinette Bennett, the author that was supposed to be with me last week, to call in. And also, you can call in at any time. The number is 646-652-4832. So feel free to call in at any time. So we do have a caller on the air, and I'm going to pick up this call and just begin to take all of the calls that come through. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Praise God. Antoinette Bennett is here.
Praise the Lord. How are you today, my sister?
I am so blessed to be back on the line with you, Pastor. How are you doing?
Amen. I'm doing good. You just heard my praise report.
Yes, I know about that. Every time you try to do something for the Lord, the enemy try to come in, but we continue to give God the glory.
He gets the glory, the honor, and the praise. You know, I really think that we spend too much time giving the devil the glory. You know, even when we go ahead and we have to make that confession, because it is true that the devil is a liar. The truth is not in him, has never been in him. But we also have to make sure that we are giving God the glory in the midst of every situation and every circumstance.
Oh, yes, definitely. I totally agree.
Yeah, and I missed you on last week. We had some people here waiting for me, waiting for you to call into the show, and I know that there were some circumstances that were unavoidable. I did get your email, and I'm excited that you were able to call in and spend a little bit of time with us today.
Praise God. Well, I am truly thankful because I was hurt last week. I was like, oh, I forgot. But to God be the glory, I said, you know what, Lord? I'm going to make the sacrifice and still call this week, even though some problems did occur. Like you were saying earlier, well, young lady, you know, I had to take in her position and, you know, do a run that was supposed to be hers, but it doesn't matter. But again, to God be the glory because he knows all things work together for the good.
That's right. All things work together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And believe me, God knew before last week that we would be talking this week.
Yes, that is true.
So there are no surprises with God.
None whatsoever.
And I want to just really introduce our caller to the audience. For those of you who don't know and who did not tune in last week, we have with us today for a brief time, because I know that she has to go, we have Antoinette Bennett, who is the author of, she's the author of Hallelujah Anyhow. And I did see that we had another caller coming in, and for some reason you're not there anymore. But you can call in. You can still call in. Even though we do have Antoinette Bennett on the line, we will be glad to talk to you. But Antoinette Bennett is the author of Hallelujah Anyhow, and I met her at a play last year, and I was just so blessed by just her presence, because she carries herself with the glory of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And I was also blessed by her book, Hallelujah Anyhow, the title of the book, because the Lord had been putting that title upon my heart. And I thought it was because I was supposed to write the book. But now I know that prophetically he was showing me that I would meet someone who had already written the book.
Praise God. That is truly a blessing. God works in magnificent ways. Him do the glory and the honor, I tell you. Because God had given me that. It was in my spirit, too, as well, for a long time, because that song, that ministering song that we ministered throughout the church, you sing that song, Hallelujah Anyhow, and it talks about whatever problems or troubles you went through, Hallelujah Anyhow. And I was like, yeah, Hallelujah Anyhow, because we as people walking about this earth now, we go through trials, and people think that because they become a Christian that they're not going to come up against oppositions, but you're going to have them because Jesus said so. And then we walk in these troubles, and we walk through all the circumstances that we go through, and we're like, oh, God don't love me. Oh, this is happening because it is. No, it's Hallelujah Anyhow, because when as you continue to give God praise, again, like you said, then that by us giving him praise, it's glorifying his name. Therefore, those troubles, they're no longer, they become minute in our circumstance. So,
amen.
That's why I really wanted to title the book that title, because I went through, I mean, like other people in this world, we go through certain circumstances where we're not feeling up to par, and we think that, you know, it's just little old me that's going through it. But so many people on this earth has gone through so many things, so many trials. But Hallelujah Anyhow, it's like, Hallelujah to God, hallelujah for this is happening, hallelujah, you know, praise God. Anyhow, you're going to have these troubles, you're going to have these problems that's going to come, and you're going to go through this, and you're going to go through that, but what does it really mean when it comes back to Christ? It means
nothing. Amen, and there's a scripture that talks about the problems that we're going through. They're trivial. It says this light affliction.
Light affliction.
That's right. This little stuff that you're going through is nothing in comparison to the glory of God that's going to be revealed on our lives.
Yes. And, I mean, you're going through the circumstance for someone else. Because through that, then once you come out, then you can encourage someone else.
That's right. Amen. With the same comfort that we've received from God, we can go back now and encourage somebody else that's going through. And I know that That is so true, because that's our whole ministry. That's my whole ministry with what God has brought me through. And a little bit later on, I'll be sharing about the cycle of dysfunction, being uncomfortable with change, and being disqualified because of even some of our own disbelief. But what God has brought us through already, you know, we're like Simon. You know, when Jesus says, Simon, Satan wanted to sift you. He asked to sift you because, you remember, God has to allow some of this stuff, all of this stuff that we go through.
Yes, he has.
But when you come back, you go ahead, you strengthen your sister and you strengthen your brothers. But, Antoinette, why are you here? Because I don't know how much time you have. But why are you here? I want you to talk a little bit about your book. Why did you write the book? And how long did it take you to write the book? And what was your process as far as getting the book out and beginning to go forth and minister the word that's contained within the book?
Okay. First, I wrote the book as a testimony to hand out to those basically in the church, the young teenagers that I see still coming up in the church, to let them know that was like my part of testimony about me being hit by the stolen car that I was involved in back in 1987. And then the Lord had put it on my pastor's heart, my spiritual mom. She said, why don't you just tell your whole story? Mm-hmm. And from there, I just continued to write and write. And it took me at least a good 5 years to complete the book. That's because I kept holding on to it, and I would go back. Because when you're talking about yourself, you have to actually relive every situation that you went through. And it's sometimes going to be painful, but I just began to continue to write and write and write. And the more that I continue to write, it was actually like a healing process as you continue to write, because you're actually, it's like a self-help type of situation by you writing about the problems and writing it down. You go through it, and you're actually encouraging yourself. So I just continue to just write it and write and write and write. And there we have, and with that, with the self-publishing, I basically went through the self-publishing because going through publishers, it came up against oppositions within that, because they needed to for you to write in and write certain things to them about it, and then they had you putting your, what you have is somewhat as a thesis or a particular dissertation out for them to say, okay, we're going to approve this book. But then people are going to say, well, why don't you just self-publish it? So I learned and tracked down how to self-publish, and there we have. And I've just been helping, ministering, you know, helping other people to write their own.
Amen. So not only have you gone through the process, but again, we come back to you being a coach and a mentor to help other people to write their own books or to write their own stories. And again, we're talking, for you, those of you who are just tuning in, I'm speaking with the author of Hallelujah Anyhow, Antoinette Bennett, who's also an evangelist. She didn't tell me that. I had to read it in her bio. But she's also an evangelist. The Lord is using you mightily, Antoinette, as far as evangelism, because that's really what your book is about. I've read the book, and I've been blessed with the book. And really what I'm seeing is when you started in the book, like you said, it's your life, but in the beginning, when you start telling this story about your life, it's evident that when you got hit by that stolen car, and this was in Newark, I believe, New Jersey.
Yes,
when you got hit by that stolen car, you were not saved at the time, right?
At the time, no, I was not.
Okay.
I was not professing salvation at all.
Okay.
That was like the furthest thing from my mind, and it's come to find out that it was all Christ, you know. It was all Christ, and I could not imagine. I tell people today, I would not want my worst enemy to go through the situation I went through, because I don't know if they could have handled it.
My God. My God. So it's more than you being hit by that stolen car, because this was a stolen car that was going about 100 miles an hour or something.
Yes.
Like.
Yes, because when it struck me, I went up actually over the telephone wires.
My God.
And they said when I came down that I struck my head on the a dumpster, if you know the size of the big dumpster that they put all the trash in.
Mm-hmm.
And even with that, I after being in the hospital, I had to stay awake through the whole operation. They couldn't give me any type of anesthesia to sedate me so that they can proceed with the surgery. Because of the situation when they came to stitch up my forehead, I had a big gash on my forehead, so the doctors came in prior to it to stitch up my forehead. The medication that they used, it would have conflicted with the anesthesia, and God knows where I would probably wouldn't have been here. But to the glory of God, I sustained that going through the surgery, staying awake throughout the surgery. Even though it was painful, I cried myself to sleep because, you know, your body cannot handle so much pain.
Yes.
And I know it was nobody but God that put me to sleep, you know, to endure the surgery because I couldn't be awake.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like he had to put me to sleep because I cried myself to sleep because they, if I could tell you, once they popped my bone back in place in my arm, it was my left arm and my left leg that was broken because that's the side that the car had actually struck me on, was my left side. And with that, with him hitting the left side, which was, you know, that's where the heart is located, and, you know, a lot of major organs are located there, but to the glory of God, it did not damage any of that, and I had massive internal bleeding. And even though I went through all that and the surgery, I had to stay awake throughout the surgery. God still got the glory after the surgery because they said it was a miracle. The doctors even was baffled at the fact that I came out, you know, the surgery still with my status was good.
My God.
And so they was watching me throughout the night, and I was in the hospital. I was in intensive care, I believe, for about a couple of months. Because I was in the hospital, I would say totally from, because it occurred March 8th, I was let out of the hospital in mid-May, so that was Christ in itself, because when I was let out out of the intensive care unit to go into an actual bedroom, that was like a month prior to me being released, so... You know, it was to the glory of God to see the doctors was really baffled at how fast I was actually being healed from this process.
My God.
Because they didn't expect me to live. I had massive internal bleeding. My lungs had collapsed. My left arm and leg was broken. And they said I wasn't going to be able to have two children.
My God.
But to the glory of God, I have one child. I have a child today. So... that's all God. They didn't even
Hallelujah.
Know if I was going to be able to walk. They didn't know if I was going to be. I had to take walking lessons. I had to take speech classes. But God got the glory because I was talking. They was afraid. They were afraid to let me do my own faith because they thought that was going to have some traumatic stress throughout that because of the way my faith was structured after the car accident. And I'm like, that was very minute to that situation because I wanted to see my face, if anything. And that was, even though that didn't mean anything to me, but it's just that I wanted to see what I looked like because everyone was so afraid to tell me actually what occurred, how it occurred, and what I looked like.
And this
all
was
I
two, and this was 2 months later. So here you have been hit by a car. A speeding car that's going over 100 miles an hour. You flew up in the air, got wrapped up in some telephone wires, came down, hit your face on the concrete to the place where your forehead was actually split open.
Yes.
And
yes.
had to go through this surgery with no
yes.
anesthesia.
No anesthesia.
Doctors said it was a miracle that you even came out. And again,
yes.
now they're afraid for you to see a mirror thinking that would be too
Hallelujah.
Traumatic for you to even see your own face.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, I've met you and I told you about your presence that God has restored everything.
Yes. everything. God
your leg, your
everything.
Arm. Everything is functioning, and
yes.
that's a part of your story that you talk about in this book, Hallelujah, anyhow. And I just want to convey, I'm feeling God right now. We talked about that light affliction.
Yes.
Now, this was no light. this was no light affliction.
Not at all. Not at all.
My God.
It's all God. Because I said, the young lady, the young men that struck me with the car, because this is one of my ministries. I'm trying to get to speak to young kids about the actions that they're actually portraying when they go out here and steal someone's possession and then get behind the wheel of a car just for a joyride. The young men that hit me, they're no longer here today because they continued in this type of lifestyle where it took their life. But their family member, she saw me. She encountered me, I think, when I was going on a bus ride.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sorrowful. I didn't recognize her, but she recognized me. Because after going to court, her family, well, their family wanted to harm me because I was pressing charges. It was not me. It was the state. But even after that, she apologized. She came to me and apologized. She said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, "No." She said, "My family, young man who hit you with the car, it was my family member." And when she said, "Is everything all right? Can you walk?" I'm like, "Yes." I said, "I'm fine. I said, I'm fine. I can walk. I can talk." I said, "God has restored everything." I said, "Everything's okay."
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the thing that we have to realize. And I was talking about the vicious cycle that we are, so many people are living in dysfunction. And that's the case with these two young men these two young boys that are
yes.
no longer here because they continued down the wrong road. They continued
yes.
down the wrong road and God allowed the enemy to take them out because we know that the end of sin is death.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So, but the thing about it is what the devil meant for harm in your
life,
amen, has been turned around for good and is now being used for God's glory because
yes,
you have written this book in spite of everything that you've been through. You've now come back and written a book, hallelujah, anyhow, and let people know that in spite of everything, and this is a small part of your testimony because there's
small
much
part.
More.
Yes.
And you're letting people know that no matter, and this is what I want the listeners to hear today from Antoinette Bennett's testimony, no matter what you are going through, no matter what you have been through, keep praising God.
Keep
praising. Let it be hallelujah anyhow.
Yes, yes.
Because
let
if you don't give up, right, Antoinette,
mm-hmm.
then God will get the glory.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Continue to praise him in the midst of not wow, after you come out, you have to praise him in the midst of the catastrophe because in the midst is when he moves and then he can push back the clouds. Therefore, when you come out, when you walk through, then that light will continue to just carry you right into your rightful place.
My God. My God. And here you were not saved at the time of this.
Not saved.
Now,
not saved.
Now, when did you come to a realization of who God was and that it was he who kept you through this time in your life? When did you
I was actually, my first occurrence was I was in the hospital. And in that room, it was before the surgery. This is before I went through the surgery. My stomach started to feel queasy, unnatural. It was like something was bubbling up. That's because prior to that, I pulled those two tubes out of my nose that they actually place down your nose and ask you to swallow. I pulled them out because of discomfort and because I was trying to talk to the nurses even though I could not talk. And by me doing that, the internal bleeding, there was a mixture going on that was not pleasing to my stomach, so I had to release that. And once I was in the room and I released it, the nurse on the other side, opposite side of the window in the intensive unit, she saw me sitting up. God knows it was not me that sat up. That was God who sat me up. Because, again, my left arm is broken. My right arm, I grabbed on the bar of the hospital bed, and I pulled myself up. But I felt someone pushing me from behind. And when the nurse came in, I whispered to her, "Who's in here with me?" She said, she was just trying to comfort me to lay back down. She said, "Sweetie, just lay down. No one's in here. Just lay down." And I kept trying to look behind me to see who was in the room, but nobody was there. That was the encounter to let me know that God is real. And then once I came out of the hospital, prior to me going in the hospital, there was a minister. Him and his wife had met me. And this was like, I spent like a week with them at the Boys and Girls Club, which is on Hawthorne Avenue in Newark. And that's actually where the stolen car hit me at, right in front of the Boys and Girls Club. So once they found out about the situation, they came to the hospital and visited me, and they began to come and talk to me and minister to me about who Christ was and who I am in him and the prayers, what does prayer mean and how to continue to read the Bible. They actually walked me through these steps. And today they're like they were my youth ministers as I was growing up. And that's how I, you know, that was my development in the whole salvation walk. They actually, God planted them there before I even knew who they were. They was actually, the wife was a sewing teacher, I believe. She was a sewing teacher. And so I just took the course just because she was a sewing teacher. And from that, she did not tell me she was a minister. He did not let me know he was a minister. But God knew that that was the time for them to encounter in my life, because I was going to need them at that present time.
Amen. Amen. And that's a word for all of us who are Christians, that we have to let our light shine wherever we are and
wherever.
Always be ready.
Yes.
Always be ready to bring that word of God. Well, Antoinette, I hear your children in the
background. Yes.
But I am so glad that you called in today just to give us a brief testimony about why
Praise
you wrote
God.
Your book.
Yes.
Hallelujah, anyhow. And how is your book available? How can our listeners find out more about this great book and order it if they want to get a copy of that book?
Okay. What they can actually do is visit my webpage, which is halleanyhow.com. I'll spell that for you. It's H-A-L-L-E, anyhow, A-N-Y-H-O-W. .com. So that's halleanyhow.com. And once they go on that website, it will actually, if they click on the banner of the book, they will be able to, it will direct them to where they can purchase the book. And I'll send a copy to them, but no problem.
Amen. And also, you are available for speaking engagements to speak to the youth. You mentioned that you go around and you try to talk to youth about the consequences of their actions.
Yes. I can be contacted. There's also a portion on the webpage where they can click on the link that will direct them to my email. And once they send a note to me, I'll receive it, and I'll respond to that note once I receive it.
And right now, it's amazing how God works, because he sent these two youth workers to speak to you about his love. And I hear your children in the background. So right now, you're working with children.
Yes, I work with children. And it's a blessing, because I learned, even through them, those that I'm with today that's in therapy, these children that I have today, they're in therapy. But once they're in my van, this is a van where I'm ministering to them. So once they're out of my presence, I go and talk to their teachers. I minister to them without them even knowing how. I speak to them about how they're to behave, how they're to act, which they're not doing right now, but to the glory of God.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I like to hear the praise reports that come back from the teachers. They got 100 on their test. They don't know who they're talking to, but they see a change in them. They see how they're improving in class and how they're being more disciplined. That's nothing but to the glory of God, because I try to train them when they're in my midst, you don't do that, or, you know, this is how you behave. And when you're in the presence of someone that's coming in the door, you open the door. Little small things that I don't know if they're receiving it at home, but when they're with me, they're going to receive it.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, I know you have to go, but do you have any closing words before you leave that you would like to leave with our listening audience?
Yes, I would like to tell your listening audience, whatever they have to do in the Lord that God has given to them in their spirit, and they think that it's not right that this is not the right time. There's no time such as right now, because what God has given to them is for someone else. So many more people are waiting on to hear the minister, that word that God has given to them to come out, whether it be in the form of a song, in a book, in words of expression, and their actions, wherever they may find themselves. If God has said something to them for them to bring out, do it. Because it's now. God needs to see, people need to see God in them today for someone else tomorrow.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Evangelist Bennett, thank you so much.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise
for
God.
Taking time. I know you are so busy, but I just really appreciate you taking the time to call in today to share with me and my listeners. I've read the book. It's a great book, and I highly recommend Hallelujah Anyhow for anyone to read, especially if they've been through anything or if they're going through something, or even if they're considering writing their own book.
Yes.
This book can be a template as to how to get your story out to the glory of God.
To the glory of God.
Amen. So you have a blessed day, and I'll be in touch with you, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Okay. Likewise. Likewise, Pastor Simmons. And
Amen.
Thank you for everything that your ministry has done for me and is still doing today. I thank you for you having this radio. This is a tool that God has given you to reach out to so many more than a piece of paper could reach. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
I thank God for what he has given to you to get out to so many more listeners and all over the airwaves. So I thank you and continue to be blessed.
Amen, and I receive it. Amen. I shall continue to press forward. So you have a blessed day, and make sure you listen to the archive, because I'm going to be talking about some more things regarding what we were just talking about. So when you get home, take an opportunity to listen to the rest of the program.
Amen.
Okay, God bless you, my sister.
God bless.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was just speaking with Antoinette Bennett, Evangelist Antoinette Bennett. She is the author of Hallelujah Anyhow, which is a book that the Lord gave her to write about her testimony. And she's been through a lot. She's been through a lot in life. But God has brought her out. And if you want to call in, we might as well go ahead and open it up for testimonies. If you want to call in and share your own testimony during this last 12 minutes of the program, you can do so. The number is 646-652-4832. And I would love to talk to you about how God is moving in your life. While I'm waiting for you to call again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you today is the vicious cycle that so many of us find ourselves in. Antoinette Bennett talked about these young boys that had stolen the car and ran into her, hit her, and it messed her up so much that she was in intensive care for over a month and was in the hospital for about 2 months. Everything in her life was totally turned upside down, but God had a better plan for her. Now, these young men, they did not change their lives, and they ended up not making it past their 20s, I'm thinking that. They didn't even make it into the 20s. But God has a plan for those of us who will hearken our ears to hear what it is that he has to say and obey. And so many people, like these two young boys, are caught up in what I call a vicious cycle. I was reading in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, on last week, about Lot, Abraham's nephew Lot, and his family, and how his family was caught up in dysfunction. Here you had Lot, who had come out with Abraham when God told Abraham to leave his father's house. Abraham took Lot with him, because, you know, sometimes we can be blessed by affiliation, and Lot was blessed just because of his affiliation with Abraham. So Lot began to travel with Abraham, and he began to be blessed, so blessed, in fact, that it got to the point where Lot's people and Abraham's people couldn't live in the same vicinity with each other. There began to be conflict, and that so often happens when people are being blessed. where there is conflict, and we just need to learn to get along. If God is blessing you, I'm going to get close to you and want to rub shoulders with you because I know that my blessing is coming. Amen. So we just really need to appreciate the blessing when it comes. And Kingdom Voices, God bless you. It's good to have you. Thanks for tuning in on today. And I'm talking about dysfunction on today. You know how we grow up, so many of us grow up in dysfunction. And this was what Lot, when he separated from Abraham, and Abraham said, you go this way and I'll go that way. And Lot looked off towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, it looks good over there. I'm going that way. And he went over there towards Sodom and pitched his tent near Sodom. But the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 19 that Lot ended up living in Sodom to the point where Abraham had to go in and rescue him one time because he was taken captive. So Abraham rescued him, and then Lot went back to Sodom and began to live amongst the evil and the wickedness there. And we have to be careful. You have to be careful about where you pitch your tent. So here Lot is with his wife, and he has some daughters now, and he's living in the house with his wife and two unmarried daughters. When God sends, because of Abraham, he sends a couple of his angels over there to warn Lot and to bring Lot out. So they go over there, and the men come to Lot's house where the angels are, and they want the angels. They said, send those men out. We want to have our way with them. They wanted to rape these men, you know, because this was something that was rampant in the land. They wanted to have their way with Lot's visitors. And here you have Lot saying, no, I have to protect these men because they're under my roof. And it was customary that when somebody was visiting you, that you were responsible for them back in the day. So, but he said, take my two daughters. They've never been with a man. Take these two and do what you will with them. And I read that thing, and I said, what the heck is going on here? Here you have a man ready to sacrifice his daughters so that he can take care of these two men, save face, so that he can save face. And that's dysfunction. It was dysfunction, but God still had mercy and said, I'm going to bring you out. And they had to take Lot, and he was reluctant to go, and they had to drag him up out of there to the point where they gave the command, we're bringing you out, but don't look back. And God says that so many times to us. He says, I'm bringing you out of this dysfunction, but don't go back in there, and definitely don't look back. Don't look back, because if you look back, you're going to be tempted to go back. And that's what happened with Lot's wife. She looked back, and the Bible says that she turned into a pillar of salt. So her whole future was cut off because she looked back. Amen. Amen. And this is the cycle that we're in, dysfunction. We're in dysfunction. So many of us grew up with alcoholic parents, or maybe there was abuse in the house, and I'll be dealing with that on Woman to Woman on Thursday. Tune in on Thursday at 12 noon. I'll be dealing with a topic, what's up with abuse. And I want all of you to call me and help me to share on this topic, what's up with abuse. And we're dealing with dysfunction in the way of drugs and womanizing and missing daddy dilemma. We're looking for love in all of the wrong places because daddy wasn't there or mama wasn't there. And we grow up with dysfunction. We don't know how to love. We don't know how to receive the love of a good man or a good woman because we never saw it. It's learned behavior. And we begin to pattern our lives after this behavior that we learned while we were growing up. And God wants to bring us up out of dysfunction. Amen. That's why Jesus came. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God said, I have come so that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. So Jesus came so that we could come up out of our dysfunction. But why are so many of us still living in this state of dysfunction? And I would like to offer that it's because of the discomfort. It's because of the discomfort that comes with change, the change that's necessary to take us to the next level. See, change is not always comfortable. As a matter of fact, when we begin to come out of our comfort zone, it's not that good of a feeling. Amen. And this was what happened with Lot's wife. She wasn't too comfortable with leaving behind everything that she was accustomed to, even though it was dysfunctional, even though it was wickedness, even though it was evil. She would rather have stayed, I believe. The Bible doesn't say, but I believe that she grew up in that, because nobody tells us where Lot got his wife from in the first place. So he may have gotten his wife from Sodom. And she was reluctant to leave it behind. So she left her future. She lost her whole future because she looked back, because of the discomfort of going out. And even when the angel said, go to the high place, God wants to take us higher. They told Lot to go up to the mountains. And he said, no, let me stay right here. This is a familiar territory, and it's a small place. It's not so big. It's not so intimidating. And he said, I'm afraid. And a lot of us are afraid to move to the next level. We are uncomfortable with where God is taking us. And I want to say to you today that God has not given you that fear. Fear is not from God. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. We have the wisdom. We have the love of God to push us through. And we have the power that lives on the inside of us to make it and to go to the next level and to leave that dysfunction behind. Amen. To leave that dysfunction behind. So we need to get rid of that feeling of fear, and we need to press through the discomfort to move forward to the next level that God has for us. And then finally, there's the disqualification that comes from disobedience and disbelief. We just don't believe that God wants to do this for us. We don't believe that we're good enough to go where God is taking us. And God wants the glory in your life. He wants the glory in my life. And we have to be courageous enough to move forward and do those things that God is calling us to do. Amen. Amen. And there will be opposition. Amen. But another thing is disobedience. Lot's wife was told, don't look back. And she looked back and lost everything. And then here you have Lot's daughters. They decide later on in chapter 19 that they're going to sleep with their father so that they can continue the lineage. So they both get pregnant. They get Lot drunk and have babies by their father. Dysfunction, see, that disobedience took them right back into dysfunction. I tell you, it's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. And it's not God's best for us. Amen. God wants better for us. But we have to start with believing the word of God, knowing the word of God, confessing that word, and obeying the word of God. Amen. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I just want to share that with you on today, that it's time to break the cycle. And we need to teach our kids the word of God. We need to be living witnesses, epistles. We need to be the word. We need to be the word. Let that word live itself out in your life and my life. We need to be walking, talking word, amen, so that when people look on us, they will know who we are by our actions. And the Bible tells us that a good tree can't bear bad fruit, neither can a bad tree bear good fruit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just stopped by to share that with you on today, and thank you, Kingdom Voices. I receive it. I receive it. Amen. The Lord had me preach this thing on Sunday, and I was I was loud and emphatic about it, because I believe this stuff. I write about this stuff. My books deal with dysfunction, and we need to move out of dysfunction, because it's not God. That's of the enemy. It's of the evil one. The devil doesn't care if we go to church. As long as we don't start living this word, we start living this word, then we become a threat to the kingdom of evil. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to invite you again to call me. Call on Thursday at 12 o'clock noon. I'll be dealing with the topic of abuse. What's up with abuse? And for all of you out there, men and women of God who are listening, anyone who has a testimony about how God brought you out, if you have a word of wisdom, I want you to call me on Thursday so that we can minister to those people who are caught up in the dysfunction of abuse, because God has a bigger plan for us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And this has been Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Pray for me. My headset went. I tried to use my headset to do the program today, and that went. I dropped my computer on the floor yesterday, broke my desktop, and I thank God for a laptop. Amen. Because God is still able, no matter what barrier presents itself, God is able to allow us to get beyond that barrier. Remember, he parted the sea so that the Israelites could come up out of Egypt. Amen. So if he parted the sea for the people of Israel, what do you think he will do for you? What do you think he will do for me? Amen. Amen, and praise God. Well, be blessed. Have a blessed day. Know that God loves you and he has a great plan for you, and that no weapon forged against you can prosper. Know that you are the head and not the tail, the top and not the bottom. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember, my brother, remember, my sister, that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace.